WHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Conservative activist Charlie Kirk has died after being shot during an appearance at a college in Utah. CBS's Robert Costa.
It's hard to quantify and characterize the amount of anger, frustration, pain that is being felt in so many corners of American politics right now, especially those who knew Charlie Kirk.
Authorities do not have a suspect in custody, and campus police at Utah Valley University were going building to building to evacuate people. CBS's Ed O'Keefe on Kirk's influence.
Founded this group, Turning Point USA, back in 2012, inspired by the Tea Party movement. And he very quickly became a really influential conservative leader, especially among younger conservatives, galvanizing them to vote for various Republican candidates, and became very close with the Trump family.
President Trump has ordered flags lowered to half staff. CBS News Special Report, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The weather couldn't have been more perfect for the downtown Grand Affair on Sunday. Temperatures were crisp as vendors and car owners set up for the day in Wisconsin Rapids. But by mid-morning, when the crowds started to arrive, temperatures rose under bright blue skies and puffy white clouds. The Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce partners with Creepers Car Club to host an arts and crafts vendor fair and car show in early September. This year marked the 25th annual event. Stacy Keevy is president and CEO of the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. She said the turnout was fantastic.
It's amazing. There's so many people, I would say in the thousands of people.
Crowds filled West Grand Avenue as they perused the vendors from 4th Avenue South and up over the West Grand Bridge. Keevy said they hosted a record number of vendors this year from all over the state.
We have a ton of new vendors, and we have so many food vendors too, which is great that we have this turnout.
Creepers Car Club has partnered with the event for the past two decades.
We're working on 20-some years, I think.
That's club president Jay Richardson. He said the group started in the early 1950s with some high school boys. Richardson's been a member of the Creepers since their second iteration in 2000.
We started with three cars.
This year, they smashed their previous records with an astonishing number.
208 this year.
Wow. Yeah.
Classic cars spanned streets from the downtown theater across the Grand Avenue Bridge and next to the river where the farmers market sets up. Alderperson Jeff Penscover said the downtown Grand Affair is a great event that brings people out to see what the community offers.
I'm telling you, Rapids is a place to live. I've been here all my life. People are coming to town. There's a lot of interest in the businesses that we have going here. Real estate's a bargain. This is where it's going on.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers lose in Texas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers lost to the Texas Rangers today, 6-3. The Rangers completing a sweep of the Crew. The last time the Brewers were swept in a three-game series was opening weekend in March in New York against the Yankees. The Brewers had 11 hits but could only manage to score three runs. They have tomorrow off and host the Cardinals Friday night. NFL. Packers making an interesting move, signing wide receiver Christian Watson to a one-year contract extension worth over $13 million. Watson rehabbing that torn ACL he suffered January 5th against the Bears.
I mean, I don't have a timeline as of right now. I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, get back to feeling 100%, doing, you know, everything I need to do out there, and then I'll kind of just let the trainers and everything, you know, let me out. I mean, it's been feeling really good so far. I haven't, you know, had anything, you know, to deal with so far. It's all just been, you know, feeling really good. I'm able to just keep on going out there and attacking my rehab, and oh yeah, it's been going real good.
That's the Packers' Christian Watson with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the mid-50s with patchy fog tomorrow morning, then turning mostly sunny, warm for tomorrow afternoon, high in the mid-70s. 80s for the rest of the week and weekend. Next chance of showers and thunderstorms Sunday night into Monday. It's 69 degrees right now.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff?
Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin travels to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, Brian Kennedy, mayor of Glendale and national president of Democratic Municipal Officials, on getting yourself trained to run for local office.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
They're not there to serve you and me and the family farmer. They're there beholden to billionaires and their corporate overlords.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
See our nation fraying and fracturing.
This is not normal. This is not the country that I grew up in.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Correct. We know better. We know better.
Clip that.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am going to get right into our first big interview of the afternoon. I am so humbled and privileged to be talking to our first guest today. His name is Norman Eisen, and you may have seen Norm quite recently, either on CNN or MSNBC, but his career goes back a bit before that. He first started out working for the Anti-Defamation League, and then he attended Harvard Law School and had a bit of a famous classmate, a guy named Barack Obama. And then Mr. Eisen went on to serve ultimately as Mr. Obama's White House ethics czar. And in that capacity, he became known as Dr. No, as in, no, you can't do that. That's an ethics problem. Specifically, when folks that worked in the White House were requesting permission to attend conferences that weren't in Washington, D.C., Mr. Eisen famously is quoted as saying, if the conference sounds like fun, you cannot go. And after he worked for Mr. Obama as his White House ethics czar, he was appointed by President Obama to be the ambassador to the Czech Republic. Following his government service, Mr. Eisen has been writing with his colleague, Jen Rubin, a former commentator for The Washington Post, who quit in protest of Jeff Bezos' supplication to Donald Trump. He and Ms. Rubin together write The Contrarian. They're speaking this evening at Idea Fest in Madison. And most recently, Mr. Eisen helped found the Democracy Defenders Fund, and it is my great humble privilege to introduce you all to Mr. Norman Eisen, former ambassador. Welcome to the program.
Maggie, it's so great to be with you on behalf of my latest org, the Democracy Defenders Fund, and also here in the state with Jen Rubin on behalf of The Contrarian. And I love the intro to your show. It really made me appreciate my friend Maggie all the more.
Well, we're so happy to have you. And I want to start out with what is in the headlines every week, this week, no exception. The Epstein estate making or providing to the House Oversight Committee quite a lot of documentation. Of course, the infamous birthday book, I've talked about that, which really, I think, is less important for what it specifically says, but quite important as yet another piece of evidence that an everyday American can see that demonstrates the intimate friendship between Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. But what Epstein is really about is, one, the way that the system failed his victims, now survivors,
yes,
and the way that the system is continuing to, in effect, cover up what many are very concerned about, both liberals and conservatives, Democrats, Republicans, independents. Folks want to know, why is the Epstein controversy such an important insight into government accountability and transparency?
Maggie, in my view, the Epstein scandal, including the cover-up of the Trump-Epstein files, why won't they release them? In my view, it's about Donald Trump being too close to the rich and powerful and the most vulnerable in society getting hurt. And that's the story of Donald Trump's corruption in the White House. Over and over again, we see it with the big, brutal betrayal bill, where they've given tax cuts to millionaires and billionaires who don't need them, billions of dollars in tax cuts at the expense of average folks' health care and food assistance, jobs. That makes no sense at all. While I was here in Wisconsin, I just was hearing about how everybody they've fired at the Small Business Administration and how small businesses are suffering as a result of that. And you're seeing it in this corruption and its impacts. You're seeing that in the economy. You're an economist, so you don't know what we're seeing in the jobs creation, the manufacturing jobs creation, and the statistics. The health of our economy is plummeting.
Yes.
Because of Donald Trump's foolishness. You could add, in addition to the big brutal betrayal bill, the tariffs and his needless instability that he's inflicting on our economy. It's just awful. And so that is all the Epstein scandal, the corruption and the economic harm are all of a piece.
Yeah, Norm, you're pointing out two things that are through lines in everything Trump 2.0, its regime, stands for. And that is promises broken to folks that have bosses and receive paychecks in this country and work hard and save and try to do the right thing and deserve a fair shot at success for them and their children, as well as breaking those promises in service of whom, in service of whose interests. And in virtually every element of the Trump regime in this second iteration, the interests that are being served are first and foremost Donald Trump's, whether it's his wealth or his power. But then more broadly, he is serving only the wealthiest, the billionaire overlord class, as I like to call it, like Elon Musk. And now, of course, Mr. Zuckerberg and others. And in so doing, when you're not serving the people that were your base, you've got to lie to them about things. What should people be thinking, Norm, when they hear the president or his spokespeople and surrogates? How should people ferret out or seek the truth when they hear Donald Trump and, for example, Secretary Bessent saying everything's great, just wait a little longer? We're hearing that everything's great from apparently people that aren't talking to some of the news outlets that aren't legitimate economists. How do people ferret out the truth when there is such audacious lying on a daily basis?
Well, the watchword is to start with sources that folks trust. Obviously, the listeners to the Maggie Dawn Show, I've come to trust you. I like to thank we have almost 600,000 subscribers on The Contrarian. We're a source of truth for them. I do thank mainstream outlets. There still are some who get it right. I rely on the New York Times. I know not everybody agrees with me on that, but I find that to be a reliable source. And then you have to compare and contrast. And the other part of it is, if it comes out of Trump's mouth, it's probably a lie, a half-truth, or a distortion. So he's no longer entitled to the presumption of truth. And that's a part of it as well. You have to consider the messenger.
You have to consider the messenger. I think people are struggling to suss out what is reliable. And when they can't touch and feel things, it's very hard to convince someone that, whether it's the New York Times or, for example, I read the Wall Street Journal, not its editorial page, but it's straight up reporting. That is, I believe, factually reliable, which is why I come back to the birthday book, because someone can touch and feel that. So when it comes to either the Epstein scandal or what people are experiencing every day when they go to pay their monthly bills and they're looking at their grocery bills not going down, when their kids may still find buying a house out of reach, or folks themselves are finding it out of reach. When people are maybe experiencing some of what I'm going to call that cognitive dissonance, he promised me X and Y, but I am feeling and experiencing the opposite of that. How should people try to resolve it? I'm talking about folks that may have been inclined to support Donald Trump, not the hard MAGAs, but the folks that may have been inclined to support him.
And now,
right, they're in this moment of cognitive dissonance. How do we encourage people to lean into that, to trust their gut?
Well, there's a small number, relatively speaking, of those who made the difference in this election, Maggie, because if 120,000 people had flipped their vote in three states, including your state of Wisconsin, in 2024, Kamala Harris would be the president now.
Yes.
So it actually, even the Electoral College was a larger margin. The crew whose cognitive dissonance really matters is can be a pretty small group. I think what they need to do is, you know, the old joke, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes?
Right.
Well, they have to trust the evidence of their eyes. They go to the grocery store. The food is more expensive. They go to, they send their kids off to school. They don't know the anxiety, the violence that is going on in our schools. They see for themselves the housing affordability crisis. Can they afford to have the apartment or the house that they need? They look at inflation. Has inflation abated? So I think the places where Donald Trump's chaos, corruption, and cronyism, I noticed in your introduction,
I like alliteration. Yes.
they should look at that and what they're experiencing in their own lives, and they'll see Donald Trump is not delivering for them. And instead, there's these performances. He's putting the National Guard in our cities. That's not making our cities more safe. So I think we need to pay attention to evidence of our eyes and the trusted interlocutors. And there's indications, Maggie, independents are doing that.
Yes.
Donald Trump's popularity is plummeting with independents. So that's why it's so important for people to look at all the evidence and come to their own conclusions. But boy, the Trump administration has been a tremendous flop on every dimension of delivering for the American people, as opposed to rich and powerful.
Folks, that is former ambassador to the Czech Republic, former White House ethics czar Norm Eisen. We're going to return on the other side. We're going to talk about how our Freedom of Information Act and our Sunshine Laws are absolutely essential to government accountability, and the seemingly never-ending cycle of Democratic presidents saving failed Republican policies. and the beat goes on. Stay with us. Norm's coming back. I'm coming back. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. This half hour, I'm talking to former Ambassador Norm Eisen. He is also one of the founders of CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And currently, he has been doing us all Americans, yeoman's work, helping us hold this administration accountable through his organization, the Democracy Defenders Fund. Welcome back, Norm. You and the Democracy Defenders Fund have been really at the vanguard and forefront pushing this administration by using Freedom of Information Act requests. Tell us about what that looks like and what you all have been up to.
The pillar of American governance includes a strong element of transparency. How can you hold the government accountable to do the people's bidding unless you know what they're doing? That's in a law, the Freedom of Information Act. It entitles every American to demand information. Like, for example, we've demanded the Trump Epstein files. What's being hidden? Why was Ghislaine Maxwell moved for her participation in Epstein's crimes, that kind of information. I started doing this work when I was at CRU. We've continued it here. We've done dozens and dozens of FOIA requests, and we're in court, Maggie, litigating these requests, because that's the other part of freedom of information law. If the government doesn't give it to you, it's so important that Congress passed the law you or I or any American can go to court. I have over 125 legal matters and cases at the Democracy Defenders Fund. I probably go to court against Trump a little more than average. But we have gone to court to demand this Epstein information. And we're using FOIA there and in other ways to hold the government to account.
That's one of the things that it was really designed for regular Americans to be able to access documents that evidence the inner workings and thinkings of government when it comes to matters of public interest. It's that simple. These should be requests that can be granted. I certainly, in my capacity as Milwaukee County's Corporation Counsel, responded to these all of the time. We have an open records law here in state statute.
Yeah.
And it wasn't complicated. If there's not an ongoing, highly sensitive investigation, these very narrow exceptions, my routine advice to the responding departments was, if you have the files, turn them over.
That's
it. We're happy to review them. Yeah, it's not that hard.
It's not that complicated. Look, there are going to be files where, you know, it's an attorney-client privilege. Right. But that's not an issue because Trump's not a lawyer and Epstein's not a lawyer. So let's have the Trump-Epstein files. We know they exist in the federal government. You know, if there's victims' names, take out the victims' names. But now that we have the birthday book, I mean, who is Trump fooling? Are you mean to tell me that decades ago, somebody forged the letter that sounds like Donald Trump, the signature looks like Donald Trump, the drawing, we know Donald Trump made doodles and drawings. You mean to tell me somebody forged it decades ago and put it in this book because they went in a time machine that he would be president in 2025? Give me a break.
Yeah, the unbelievability of the whole thing, the line of bullpucky that he's trying to serve up to the American public is sort of astounding in its audacity. It's worked in many other ways, but this was such a critical issue for his base, starting in his first administration and, of course, becoming more of a point of emphasis, if you will, in the 2024 race. You got Mike Johnson claiming he's an FBI informant on Saturday or Friday, and by Monday he's saying, oh, I used the wrong word. It just seems so bizarre that the obvious, sometimes Occam's razor, is a handy rule of thumb to go back to, right? Like the simple and obvious answer.
What is the simplest explanation? Yes. Donald Trump knew what Epstein was up to. Everybody in Epstein's circle knew it. Donald Trump joked to the press, Maggie, that admiringly that Epstein, it said Epstein likes women as much as I do, including, I'm paraphrasing, on the younger side. I mean, why do we need the birthday book to understand Donald Trump's role here? Let's get those Epstein Trump files and let's understand, and this is the thrust we've done now, more than 10 of these FOIA requests, and we're in court litigating them. Why are they hiding the Trump-Epstein files? Why did they move Ghislaine Maxwell after she made a statement exonerating Trump, a known liar? DOJ itself has called her a liar in the past. Give me a break.
The other thing that's notable about the Ghislaine Maxwell transcripts with which they released, and I actually did some live reading of them on this very program.
Wow.
What stood out to me was, either Todd Blanche is the worst lawyer that has ever done a deposition, or something else was afoot. Ambassador Eisen, we've got to leave it there. Thank you for being in Wisconsin. Thanks for coming on this program. We can't wait to check in with you again very soon, sir. Folks, you're going to want to stay tuned. I'm going to continue to peel back the layers on why it seems the Democrat presidents seem to clean up the messes created by Republicans, especially when it comes to economic matters, and how the Supreme Court may actually be saving Donald Trump from himself soon? all coming up next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Alyssa Kay. Governor Tony Evers declared 2025 the year of the kid in Wisconsin. He's currently touring schools throughout the state to welcome students, families, educators, and staff back to school. On Monday, the governor stopped in at Wausau East High School. WXCO reporter Isabella Nieto was on location.
During his visit, Evers met with students and staff during a few classes, including a ceramics class, an American literature class, and an animal science class.
You know, it's really interesting watching students, taking a physical on a goat to looking at all sorts of pictures from the past and identifying what those pictures meant. And so really smart kids.
The visit comes after Evers signed the 2025-27 biennial budget in July, which included a nearly $1.4 billion increase in spendable revenue for K-12 schools across the state, and an over $200 million increase from the 2023-25 K-12 budget. Evers announced at the end of July that he's not running for another term. He says the budget will set the next governor up for success in increasing public school funding.
You know, I think going forward, and I would say this to anybody that runs for office, for my office, and when they get to the point of the next budget, they have to care about our public schools, our University of Wisconsin system, and our early childhood programs. That's our future.
The budget also included increases in reimbursements for high-cost special education programs and continued funding for school-based mental health services.
I'm Melissa Kay, and you're listening to WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Neil Diamond fans might want to start making plans for the holidays. Song Sung Blue, named after the Neil Diamond hit, finally has a release date and will hit theaters nationwide on Christmas Day, the perfect day to give us a reprieve from Christmas tunes. The film is based on a true story of a Wisconsin-based couple who formed a Neil Diamond tribute band called Thunder and Lightning. Mike and Claire Sardina were down on their luck musicians living in Milwaukee. Once they started performing together and singing those feel-good Diamond tunes, they became a local phenomenon. The film is based on the 2008 documentary of the same name by Greg Coe. The film has serious star power. The cast is led by Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson, with an ensemble that includes The Sopranos' Michael Imperioli, Ella Anderson, and Jim Belushi. Song Sung Blue is directed by Craig Brewer. Go to YouTube and check out the trailer, waiting with bated breath to find out if Sweet Caroline will be in the film. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight. A low in the mid-50s with patchy fog tomorrow morning. Then turning mostly sunny, warm for tomorrow afternoon, high in the mid-70s. 80s for the rest of the week and weekend. Next chance of showers and thunderstorms Sunday night into Monday. It's 69 degrees right now.
My name is Dustin. I'm the head designer for Cody James, and this is Behind the Design with Boot Barn. The Cody James boots are made in León, which is known as the cowboy boot capital of the world because of their long history of making handcrafted cowboy boots. As far back as the 1700s, they've been making quality boots. So those craftsmen, artisans, are literally passing down those skills from generation to generation. Cody James, only at Boot Barn and at CodyJames.com.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Heather Heil of the Green Bay Children's Museum takes the John Candy quiz. Then I'm joined by Ethan Ogilvie, writer of the new rom-com, The Threesome, which is just hitting theaters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome back. If you're rejoining us, it is Wednesday. It is 4:30. And that means it is time for one of my very favorite segments of the week, Broad Appeal, where I interview women who are elected officials, political thinkers, organizers, and activists across the state and beyond to bring you a little segment we like to call Broad Appeal, because broads have broad appeal. And again, I mean that word with deep reverential respect. She is a frequent contributor, good friend of the show now, a good friend of all of yours. She is, of course, the one, the only, the fabulous Senator Kristen Dotzler-Alfheim. Welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Happy to be one of the broads.
Me too. And we can start with something that I think all Democrats in Wisconsin are behind, at least all elected state legislative Democrats in the state agree with. And this is this incredible package of bills. It's four bills that together comprise what you all are calling the Build a Stronger Wisconsin bill package. Let's talk about what's in it, and then let's talk about its odds for success, and especially why it's so important for every single person in this state, if they earn a paycheck, if they've got a boss, if they're trying to save to get to retirement, to help their kids go to college. It is important for every single worker, no matter what your political persuasion. So what are these four key bills that compose this broader bill package?
Well, the cool thing about the Democratic caucus is that we believe that working families in Wisconsin should find success. You know, you shouldn't have to say that, and yet here we are. This is a great example of the entire caucus coming together with four bills that are very straightforward in making an impact at the kitchen tables of working Wisconsinites. We're not taking a poll as to who voted for who. We're just saying that workers in Wisconsin is who we should be rooting for. If we help the workers in Wisconsin find success, then we will therefore by default be helping everything else in our economy find success. It is the root of the foundation of who we are. Give people a fair opportunity to earn the wage that they deserve in a safe, equitable opportunity. It's not rocket science. It's common sense that the bulk of the people in Wisconsin should appreciate that we are trying to make sure that everybody has a right to get out there, have a fair shot at finding success in this thing we call the American dream. It's just not that hard.
Yeah, this is one of those issue areas that for many years I've struggled to understand why the conservative viewpoint on some of the things that we're going to talk about in this package, why it has such a vice grip in especially what used to be broadly discussed as Republican Party politics. And it's this: if you are willing to work, and we can say 40 hours, maybe we should say 50 hours, maybe we should say 60 hours, whatever it is, of good, honest, hard work in a week, you should not have to worry about whether or not you've got health care that covers your regular healthcare needs, and whether or not that's going to be enough money from those 40, 50, 60 hours of honest weekly work to have a roof over your head. And maybe, oh my gosh, maybe send your kids to college. You know, and when I talk with folks of the greatest generation, Kristen, especially those who have a tendency towards a more conservative vantage point, I often hear invocation of the work hard, do good, people should be okay. And I say, that worked for you and a single paycheck. We had family supporting jobs, but the people that are doing that today are not able to achieve what folks in previous generations were able to achieve. And that to me is the very foundation of our social contract. You should, if you're willing to work hard, you should be okay. And when I look at this package of bills, I see that idea that if this social contract that I don't think anybody, conservative or liberal, disagrees with, these are laws meant to try to ensure that that basic promise is held true. So tell us about the particular elements of it, Kristen.
Well, there's a number of them. And I think that the angst that comes in these bills has to do with, you know, the labor forward. Listen, I think that the idea of us being supportive of people having the ability to work together to get the best opportunity at their employer in terms of, you know, utilizing the union concept, the idea of having, if an organization, one of the bills that I really appreciate, when repealing Act 10 is a big deal. What Act 10 did, and this is the detail that I think a lot of people miss, Act 10 made it so that it wasn't an automatic, that shops that had unions, automatic membership enrollment. But what people don't realize is that the unions are still responsible for negotiating the contracts. They are still responsible for mediations between an employee and the management or the ownership, even though that person may now not be a dues-paying member. They are still on the hook to negotiate for them and to support them in a mediator type situation. It could be a $10,000 event. So that's not fair. And I think that in Wisconsin, the bulk of us believe in fairness. We believe that if you are going to get something, you probably should participate in the cost of having it. If you're not going to participate in the cost of having it, then you should not expect any benefit from those that are. And by repealing this Act 10, it sets that back to a fair standpoint. If you want labor to represent you and get you the best possible contract with your employer, then you should be a dues-paying member to get that benefit. You can't have it both ways. And that's really one of the things that Act 10 created. I think that's not right. Prevailing wage is another one. Why would we not want to set our contracts up for success of our most local families in a proper wage? Why would we not want to expect the proper wage be paid and focused in your local area, as opposed to bringing in a contractor from, let's say, Minnesota, who might save us 15 cents on the dollar? But when they receive that money, they're taking it back to Minnesota and they're going to spend it over there, as opposed to reinvesting it in our community for generations to come. These are simple, straightforward bills that the political world has turned it into this crazy thing. Like this is so, no, this is just good common sense. Economic cycles, economic theory of keeping the dollars local, taking care of your own families. Who in Wisconsin should be voting against the success of your neighbors? No one. This is, no, trust me, I believe in mutually beneficial relationships. I believe that a labor force and a leadership force or corporation must find success together. It can't be one-sided. We can't have contract negotiations that are so bad that the business can't afford to be here, right? That's valid to say. At the same point, we can't have it one-sided on the other side. We can't have the owners of the organization having all of the control, corporate buyback, multi-double-digit increases back-to-back, and yet say they can't afford to give a reasonable cost of living increase to their people. We have to rebalance that relationship. It was balanced, and now it has been shifted out of balance for 2 decades. We have to bring it back in balance. Again, mutual success is what our goal is here.
Folks, if you're just joining us, I'm talking with State Senator Kristen Dossler-Alfheim, State Senate 18, State Senate District 18 in the northeast central, I guess I would call it, area of the state, covering Appleton, the Fox River Valley, Neenah, Oshkosh, that whole area. We're talking today about a package of bills being proposed by state legislative Democrats that include 4 separate provisions, 4 separate bills, again, together a package. It really is about enabling workers to continue to exercise what is a most fundamental right, so fundamental that our framers put it in the First Amendment, and that is the right to organize. And State Senator, just I want to be very clear when we talk about right to work law, which is the, I think, very misleading term that's been used in the state of Wisconsin and elsewhere to talk about a union busting protection for employers. That it can be separated, though they are intimately related, from Act 10, which specifically removed basically almost all collective bargaining rights from all public employees, except for fire and police within the public sector here in the state of Wisconsin. If bargaining is good for some, for example, fire and police folks and other public safety folks that work in government, if bargaining rights are good for some, they should be good for all. And again, to me, some of the justifications for some of these, what I'm going to call union busting corporate protectionist measures by Republicans in this state, what you can tell that the theory is a fig leaf because of the fact that they preserve these bargaining rights in full for fire and police unions. From a labor theory and labor fairness perspective, and also corporate responsibility perspective, there is no meaningful justification for those protections or those more pro-worker protections in one element and not everywhere else. So what we're talking about, again, Senator, and we'll have about a little bit over a minute for you to clarify and add some more fat to this bone. We're talking about laws that aren't meant to create an imbalance. We're talking about this package of four bills to remove laws enacted while legislative Republicans in our state government had control of the state house as well in the form of Scott Walker, and were put in place as corporate protections. These are corporate protections. These are not working people protections. And we need to go back before those laws, tipping the scales unfairly in favor of corporations and employers, and just get us back to status quo ante, where workers could fully express their First Amendment rights to organize across a number of different sectors, industries, both government and private sector.
You know, my Republican colleagues are going to jump all over this as if we are anti-capitalism, anti-corporate. No, this is the Fox Valley. We have some of the most beautiful international corporations on the planet. We need them to find success here. This is not an anti-business set of bills. This is about a pro-people bill that levels the playing field so that both the organization and the families who make the success for them can find success together. We can't ignore one or the other. And I think it's fair to say, in the last 15 years, it has been very much focused on the corporate success at the consequence of the working families. There's no question about that. And we have to rebalance to bring us back into square so that we are all finding success together once again.
And that to me is the key here. Our economy doesn't grow. We don't do better as a state. Our tax revenues don't grow. If we have both very good economic engine growth for the businesses themselves and business owners that reap a goodly amount of that upside, but also the workers as well. It needs to be shared prosperity. These bills seeking to bring us back to a place where that sharing is indeed expressed through workers being able to collectively bargain. Did you know that State Senator Dasler Alfheim was also a certified financial planner? So we're going to zoom out. We're going to look at the economy from the top down. Given some of the action over the past 7 days in that disappointing jobs report. So stay tuned. What it means to you in this bigger economic sense, coming up next with State Senator Kristen Dasler Alfheim.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Did the dog catch the car? We have election denier legal trouble involving voting dogs, former election officials claiming they're political prisoners, and 2020 fake electors who claim they didn't know what they were doing was wrong. A Costa Mesa, California woman trying to demonstrate mail-in voter fraud was arraigned September 9th for fraudulently registering her dog Maya to vote, then casting a mail ballot in two elections in 2022. Laura Lee Urich self-reported her scheme in 2024 and posted a picture of Maya with an I voted sticker. She faces up to 6 years in prison. Ridge, Michigan reports that a circuit court judge dismissed felony charges against Michigan's 15 GOP fake electors September 2nd. The judge ruled the state failed to prove the electors knew that signing and sending the alternative slate of electors to the U.S. Senate was illegal. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel has not ruled out an appeal. Colorado Newsline reports that Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters, convicted by a jury of four felonies relating to the tampering of her county's election machines, filed a federal habeas corpus claim asking to be released on bond pending appeal. Her attorney calls Peters a political prisoner. The state argues the federal government doesn't have jurisdiction and the case should be dismissed. We have links to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open, brought to you by The Hotel Mead. We'll tell you something good.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. We are in the 4:30 half an hour block on Wednesday, and that means it is our segment we like to call Broad Appeal, where I interview women that are holding elected office, helping organize, and activists and other political leaders from across the state. We are joined by frequent guest, one of my favorite guests, State Senator Kristen Dossler-Alfheim, State Senate District 18. So happy to have you here. We've been talking about a package of bills that all Wisconsin state Democratic legislators are co-sponsoring. That basically seeks to restore our state's laws to what they were before Scott Walker and Republicans got a hold of them and started putting in all sorts of protections for what? Big corporations and employers, which I don't think if we looked at wealth inequality, anybody could reasonably argue with a straight face are actually needed. Now, if you didn't know this, you are learning it here, that the senator is also a financial planner and provides folks with retirement advice and investment advice. And so we've talked about what the laws are here in our state, right? A bit of what I'm going to call a microcosm. And now I wanted to zoom out because last week we got an absolutely devastating jobs report. We continue to hear folks from the Trump administration, including the Commerce Secretary, a guy I like to call Howard Ludnick, the Nudnick. Stay with me here. And Scott Bessent basically lying almost every day on national news broadcasts about the impacts of Trump's tariff terror and the uncertainty it has injected into the global economy, but into every market segment and sector. for a short time, it seemed to me, Senator, that businesses were doing a really yeoman job at, frankly, absorbing some of the cost of those tariffs. Creative accounting, creative supply management, trying to stockpile components that they needed to assemble final products, or just stockpiling stock of product to try to see if this was actually going to last or if this was more political theater. And while Donald Trump has put in place and then undone many, many, many tariffs, or put in place a super high tariff and then lowered it, what people generally refer to as Trump always chickens out, Taco Trump. We have the highest tariff level that we have seen in decades, with no articulated purpose or objective that these tariffs are serving. So we don't know when they might be reduced or what metric has to be achieved as to when they will be reduced. And so now what we are seeing is that more longer term uncertainty, and I think a bit of concern about, is there any through line? Is there even any cogent theory pushing or motivating Donald Trump's economic policy? And the markets are generally saying, we can't quite figure this one out.
Yeah.
And so corporations are holding on to more cash. They have basically ground hiring to a complete halt. I mean, jobs, new job creates at 22,000 is basically a stalled economy. The upside for some of us, if we've got consumer debt, is interest rates are likely to come down in the next cycle. But I wanted to ask you, you talk to people that are trying to save, that are trying to think about succession planning for their businesses, trying to help their kids maybe buy a house or get through college or university. What are you hearing from your clients? And are they as nervous as many of the CEOs of our country's largest companies appear to be?
Yeah, I mean, I talk to clients every day. I talk to business owners every day. The benefit of my job is that I get to learn a lot and hear a lot of different sides of the story. And from a client perspective, you know, if my average client is probably 63 years old, right? Their questions, I can't answer. The questions are, what's going to happen? Is it good? Is it bad? And the answer is, we don't know. One of the biggest dangers in the market is legislative risk. In the corporate world, if a business doesn't know, if they don't trust the long haul, they're going to hold back. They're going to hold back on projects. They don't know whether it's going to be okay to move forward this way or that way. So in essence, they hold back. I talked to a beautiful, massive construction organization worldwide, and their programs that are booked out the years in advance, the projects they have, they're having to hold back because they don't know the outcome, the supplies, the cost, the goods that they need. All of these issues matter. They also add in the fact that housing, childcare, are also hurting them locally. So this is corporate America saying that they're not sure. They want to believe, they want good things to happen, but they have to hold back because they don't know the outcome. Instability at the executive level is a huge issue in corporate America. That trickles down to every family, because every family is now looking at their nest egg. Is the market going to be stable? Are we going to have more volatility? Are interest rates going up, down, or sideways? How much is the down payment of my next house going to cost? All of these things are related. So if you think that executive level decisions or chaotic decision making isn't impacting you as a person, you're wrong. If you think the tariffs are not impacting you, all you have to do is drive by a reader board of Bergstrom Automotive. And when they say basically pre-tariff sale, that is very clear, straight line to this tariff is going to cost you more money. It's not a political statement. It's just a truth. I have an organization here in Appleton that I use, and they are an import, right? I just had a car accident. I had to replace my car. They don't know the supply chain issues. There are no 2026 models coming out for some brands of car. None. They're skipping the entire model year because they can't get the pieces that they need to build the car. That has a trickle effect to consumers because now there are fewer cars available. Of what are available, they're probably the higher end vehicles. Who's going to buy that car?
Right.
So everything matters. And I try very hard to be a big picture, find the happy in this. But we have to acknowledge the truth of the situation. Instability at the top causes instability at the bottom.
The bad stuff trickles down while the wealth trickles up. Folks, we're going to leave it there.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. Conservative activist Charlie Kirk has been shot and killed at a Utah university. Witnesses at the event heard a single gunshot.
I diverted to look up just for a second to see what, you know, where the sound had come from. And then seconds later, witnessed Charlie with a hole in his neck and bleeding.
CBS's Sam Vinograd.
Right now, law enforcement officials are incredibly focused on trying to ascertain who fired the gun that killed Charlie Kirk.
The FBI director says a person of interest is in custody. State officials say the suspect is at large. CBS's Anna Schechter.
University officials have told CBS News that they believe that they know where that shot was fired from. And we've also been reviewing unconfirmed videos. I've seen video of someone running on a rooftop, but we don't know if that is the individual.
President Trump has ordered flags flown at half staff. CBS News special report. I'm Cammie McCormick.